Well, Jello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. I am in my tuxedo, which is really tied more into the last intros I did, which was for with my last group, which was the Rat Pack, and Johnny Carson was performing with them, and then Orson Welles, where it kind of looked like Citizen Kane. Now these set of episodes are not that. These set of episodes are we're gonna cover a lot of ground anyway. So first, Bob's catching up because he missed us last week, and we're going to chat with him a little bit about we're going to go into the Discovery episode that he saw. The Discovery episode that you watched, Bob, was the second one of the Mirror Mirror universe, I believe. So you watched the first two Mirror Mirror universe ones, is that correct? Or just the first Mirror Mirror?
I think it's three now. There, so this one, she's aboard the Clarion. Is that the name of the ship?
Yes.
Something like that. She's the captain. Previously, she kills her second in command. Now she's they're supposed to wipe out a planet, and she decides to go down and negotiate because she wants to find out how this Klingon is running this. He's ahead of, he's probably the lead of the rebellion.
Right.
She has to find out why, how that works, because maybe it'll help her in the other universe. And then Ash goes ape shit. pretty much goes over the edge, and the Klingon personality comes completely out.
Yes. So do we know who which Klingon he is, or by the end of this?
I think he's the one that was originally going to lead the rebellion.
Yes. The albino one? Yes. His name's Voak.
That's the one.
And he runs into himself in the Mirror Universe version on the planet, right? And that's kind of what freaks him out, I believe. What's interesting that I told Jim last time, and I don't know if you know this, but the actor that plays Ash the entire time has played Voak. So he's always been under the makeup playing Voak. And
Are you serious?
I don't think in the credits they ever let us know that, but the reality is, yeah, he's playing. He got a chance to play a Klingon, and they decided he had enough makeup on and everything that they could use him for the other piece. And I believe it was planned from the very beginning that they were hiring this guy, who, of course, they've hired him on his looks and his feature, everything they wanted to be Ash, and then said, okay, now we're gonna make him be Voak. And so probably I would assume at the it would be interesting to talk to him about his screen test. Did he have to perform as Voak and as Ash and get that job or not? Because there's one point in this episode where he speaks in Klingon completely and he sounds just like Voak, and that's why he was Voak. So interesting revelation. That's the huge revelation. This whole piece of the Mirror Universe, we get revelation after revelation sort of thing, and that's really cool. What have you liked about the past, two or three episodes, the Mirror Universe episodes? What stood out to you as being some of the highlights of these, or the things you've enjoyed the most?
It completely twists the plot in a and the previous episodes into a completely new light
Yes.
late in the, especially the episode 12. At the end of episode 12, you find out that Lorca is one of from that universe.
Yes.
Doesn't really explain how he got over, or maybe I missed that, how he got over to the regular universe.
Right.
Oh, another thing, that'll like twist that whole thing on its ear. Also, I was like, well,
What does it twist on its ear?
the whole time you think he's part of the Federation and he's trying to defeat the Klingons, and really he's just trying to get back and take over power from the Emperor.
So those jumps that they did that were supposedly there to help, those multiple jumps that were there to do things for the Federation, really ended up being for his own self-interest to be able to get back to the Mirror Universe, correct?
And the
Yeah.
whole time he's like, And then you find out that the Emperor and Michael kind of have this thing, and he got in the middle of it somehow. But the other thing I always makes you wonder is what happens. Where is the Michael from the alternate universe? Where is she?
Well, they said in here, even in the first episode, they said that she was dead. I believe they said she was dead, and that Lorca. I can't remember. One of them is dead, and one of them ran away. And suppose so, they're banking on not running into either one. We don't know. We just know that that's what they've said happened, or what the when they were looking at the ship logs or whatever from the Federation when they broke into that information. That's the information they got. So that's why they thought they could both go on the other ship, because it wouldn't be figured out as to who they wouldn't bump into each other. So they thought we could both go on the other ship. And I can't remember why they thought they could bring Ash. Maybe it's the same thing. Maybe Ash's version they found out is dead in that universe. So as long as the person's dead or missing or something, they're good. They just don't want to accidentally run into themselves and then have to explain, I'm the real one, not that guy.
Since he was involved with the Michael Brown alternate universe, and supposedly she's dead, I wonder if there's some other, you know, maybe there's some other plot twist in there somewhere, but maybe not. Who knows?
I haven't seen it. Well, and then you got to see the Emperor now, right?
Yeah.
Were you surprised with the reveal of the Emperor?
Yeah, I when they say Emperor, I kind of imagine Star Wars, right? Palpatine. Yeah. So it's her former captain.
Yes.
In the new universe, George.
And that was so hard for me when you guys were, after she died, saying, "Oh, that's too bad. We really like that actress, and we'll never see her again on the show," and the whole thing. And so I'm like, yeah, that's unfortunate. I'm sure she'll have other roles somewhere along the way or whatever. And then she comes back strong. Actually, I think her character, we haven't seen too much of it, I don't believe, yet for you. But of course, I'm not giving anything away to say she's big. She's featured largely in the next episode as well. It's a neat flavor to add to the character she played as the captain. Because when she was the captain, she was like the ultimate Starfleet officer, the ultimate sort of probably too spot on as far as following the by the book and all of that, and the what Starfleet was. It would the series couldn't go where it wanted to go with her in the way, because you had to sort of, it's Burnham's story more than her story. So of course they have to kill her off, but now she comes back as this darker version of herself that has to be incredibly darker because she's the Emperor. So she's in charge of the whole thing over here. And to get that piece is just really interesting. And I think it's great. And so we see more of her in the next episode. Like I say, you're in for fun. I mean, I think that next episode that you haven't watched that we'll talk about next week is the culmination of the whole thing. I mean, it is the best episode of the series, probably the most interesting.
Anyway. I almost watched it because I was so excited at the end of when we found out Lorca was one of them. I wanted to see what happened.
I'm so amazed that you stopped, because it is hard. That I don't think I was able to stop. I think I went right through that one because I had to see it. That's probably the biggest cliffhanger in all the episodes, because we get introduced to the Emperor, and we realize that he's dark, and Lorca's character is not who he thought he was, and then we go into the next episode. So yeah, no, that's great.
I'm still kind of wondering what's going on with Stamets too.
Yeah,
he's recovered now, but he's got this alter ego who's stuck in the whatever that was with him.
Yeah, exactly.
How that works.
Yeah.
Obviously now we're figuring out that the mycelial network connects all the universes. So they're kind of screwed.
Well, and what I think is great from a writer's standpoint, when you go into the mirror universe, all of a sudden you can kill people off, right, that are doppelganger versions of themselves. So you can do more character deaths that aren't really character deaths. They're another version of the character. You can also bring back characters that have been dead on the series, which they did, of course, with the captain that she ends up killing in the elevator, and with the captain from with Yo coming back. And I just think what a great fun thing to do to write this series of episodes. I'm sure this was exciting for them. And it essentially is at least a 3-part storyline, if not more, but it's neat to get, and it's a culmination of the entire series in certain ways, but we'll see. Anyway, we'll end that one there. Let's talk about what you thought of the Lower Decks episode.
That was another kind of twist. I don't know what, it's going to happen next season.
Exactly.
I guess on this, we can talk about it in more detail without...
You can talk about it all you want, because we talked about it last week, Matt and I. So, or the Still Not Jim guy. Anyway, we discussed it, and we spoiled the heck out of it. So you can talk about any piece of it you want. And I have more information since last week that I think folks are going to want to hear, because I saw an interview with the panel. I also played it for everybody last week, so they probably heard the panel if they listened to the whole thing. But Jonathan Frakes ends up talking, and they released some surprise information that I thought was really interesting. So, but go ahead, Bob. So what were you saying was the, I don't know, what were your highlights or what were your surprising parts that you were mentioning?
Just the way the characters ended the season.
Yeah. So Boimler ends up on Riker's ship.
Yeah.
And they head off. And so Boimler is apparently going to be on Riker's ship, right?
Or he's going to screw up and get sent back or something.
Yeah. I mean, that's the assumption, right? And you would assume that would happen right away. But they say that what came out in the panel was that at least at the beginning of the season, and it sounds like for a few episodes, they're going to have him on Riker's ship, and Riker is going to definitely be appearing in some of those early episodes for next season. So that's going to, what a great little cliffhanger to do with Boimler heading off with Riker. And I loved Riker's performance. Jonathan Frakes did a great job of which they talked about on the panel, was taking what's always been a serious character and playing it for comedy. And the way that Riker, that Jonathan Frakes would slide right into that. And Frakes was saying he's always dreamed of being able to do that with Riker, because Riker and he are two different people, and that Riker is very serious and Frakes is very much fun loving guy. And so to be able to play an over the top Riker was just kind of a fun thing to do.
And Maureen Sirtis was in it too, his voice. The other one that was kind of a weird was Rutherford kind of got reset.
Yes.
I don't know if that's going to persist. Are they going to do something new with his character?
Yeah. They made it sound like it's going to persist. And, the Rutherford, the actor, was making a joke in the panel that he's like, well, they're just doing this so they can just play all, they don't need me anymore. They just play all my recordings from last year as I go through the same events over again and don't realize that I'm repeating myself. I don't think that would really work. But anyway, so we'll see. So he essentially lost his memory of everything that's gone on in this last season, correct?
Yep. And let me see, I'm looking up. Cameron, the security officer, they killed him off. That was interesting. That was like a little bit of a discovery there.
Yes.
He just pretty much saves Rutherford.
Rutherford, I think, yeah.
Yeah, which was interesting. Now, I didn't recognize, was that race ever on Star Trek, the one that they had become kind of like serious.
Well, his race is Bajoran. So, yes, it's been featured on Next Generation quite a bit. I didn't realize he was Bajoran until they were talking about it. Bajoran are the ones who have a little wrinkle on their nose is all you can really tell the difference between humans and Bajorans.
I was talking about the race that was attacking and taking all
the
ship.
Oh, the race that was attacking. I thought you were talking about what his race was.
I didn't recognize them from, they're probably in the series somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, the race that was attacking. Yes. They were from Next Generation. They were, I think, only in one episode of Next Gen. They might have been in other series. The Pac-Men or Pac, whatever they're called, Pac something. Anyway, no, they were played for more comic relief in the series, but they thought it would be fun if this comic relief group who was stealing technology, their big thing was they steal technology from people, was actually stole enough technology that they became kind of a superpower. And so that's the way they're playing it. I assume they're going to be a big bad for going to the next season as well, of course. So that, I thought that was kind of cute.
Yeah, I assume they were somewhere on the original series or something. I didn't recognize them.
Matt, or still not Jim, are you back? I see you kind of half coming in, half not. Now, if you're trying to talk right now, you muted yourself. So now we'll see what you got. Go.
I'm here.
Okay, you're here now. Yay.
Okay.
So anyway, Bob and I just talked about we're just talking now about Lower Decks. We talked earlier about Discovery and where he is in the arc. I mean, basically, he's at the point where we were last week, where the captain has come back. The original captain that died is the Emperor. And we were talking about that and Voke and Ash and all of that stuff. So we won't get into the next episode till next week, Jim, then, if that's okay. And we just talked about Lower Decks. And I said I had some interesting information about Lower Decks. Because the panel I played after Lower Decks, at the very end of the panel, the producers Jonathan Frakes pops in at the last minute, and they talk a little bit, and apparently sort of surprised Frakes. So I think Frakes knew and was just acting surprised, but I don't think the character that played Boimler really knew. Anyway, it sounds like for a number of episodes, probably, I was getting the impression, I don't know, in my head, like three, that next season Boimler is going to continue to be on Riker's ship and Riker will appear in those episodes. So cool to know that it's going to continue into next season and they're not just going to have him do something stupid when Riker's not on duty and get kicked off the ship and get back on his other ship. So that, you know, we speculated on whether that would happen and it sounds like it is going to happen. So. What do you think on that, Matt?
I think it'll be interesting. That's what I was kind of curious if there were a few ways they could go with it. Because it seems like his dynamic with the Mariner is a big part of the show.
Yes.
So, you know, cutting that piece out by having them on two different ships for a while be interesting to see kind of what becomes of their two characters without each other.
Right. Well, and in the panel, it was interesting because I feel like they were feeding us stuff in the panel to sort of get us primed for what the next season is going to be like, at least the beginning. Because they were saying, oh, it'd be really cool. Tendi and Mariner have never really had a plot line like together. And so that's what made me think, okay, I can see them do a Mariner-Tendi little arc thing. Rutherford's doing whatever Rutherford's doing to try and get his memory back or whatever's going on with him. And then Boimler with Riker on that, on what's the ship? Is it Titan? Is that what it is?
Titan.
I think. Yeah. And for them to have separate adventures with him for a few episodes and then probably swing them all back. And my assumption is, you know, at least a third of the way or halfway through the season, they'll be back to doing their own thing, and I assume Rutherford will either have his memory back or have navigated it by then. So we'll see. And I said throughout the season, I would rather have seen, instead of Boimler, Mariner, Boimler, Mariner, Boimler, Mariner, and Mariner and a mom, Mariner, mom, Mariner, mom, and Rutherford and Tendy, Rutherford and Tendy, Rutherford and Tendy, to see them intermix a little bit more than they did. Because you never had, that I can think of, a Rutherford Mariner storyline or a Boimler Tendy storyline, or at least not much. So that's what I would look forward to. Bob, am I right with that? Or
yeah, it was almost always Boimler and Mariner together, and then Tendy and Rutherford.
Yes.
Or Mariner and Mom. So yeah, it'd be nice if they mixed it up a bit.
Yep. I'd love them to work in Ransom a little more into the plots too, which they sounded like they were thinking about doing as well. So they're realizing that you can't really just do Lower Decks and only focus on the Lower Decks guys. You actually, they end up having experiences, having to have some experiences crossover with the first in command and captain and so forth. And so they might as well build up on that. So, which I invite. Matt, the season overall and the direction it's heading and everything, are you satisfied with Lower Decks?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I thought it, I mean, I know you guys weren't huge fans of the first episode or two. I enjoyed them quite a bit. So to me, I felt like it started strong and ended strong.
Good.
The last two episodes were by far the best, and that, you know, I'm excited going forward to see if it keeps that kind of quality. And yeah. I'd love to see. I love the cameos. I'd love to see more of that.
So would
and
I.
All the throwbacks, and both. I mean, Discovery has it too. They're you know, bringing in, you know, the Mirror Universe or whatever. You know, you've got these references, these callbacks to stuff from, you know, 40 years ago or right. more sometimes, you know, stuff from 20 years ago in Next Gen and 40 years ago from the original C plus for the original series. And they're finding, you know, things from one little episode that they pull out and make something out of. And that's pretty fun.
Agreed. That is awesome. Bob, what do you think of the series overall? Where are you at? Did you think the last episodes were some of the best episodes, or I don't know?
Yeah. I really like the second to last. This one kind of threw me on a little bit on my ear because I didn't, it kind of puts it up in the air where they're going to go. I'm just really looking forward to season two though. Any idea when they're going to release season two?
I think it's next week. I'm pretty sure. No, I think it's really high on the production schedule because of course the live action ones are hard to do right now, and they could certainly do another Lower Decks. So I think we're going to be pleasantly surprised with how quickly Lower Decks comes out. It would not surprise me if it's this time next year, roughly. I would think there's a good chance we might get it before 2021, just right at the end of we might get it before 2022, right at the end of 2021 maybe, but we'll just have to see. I mean, it would be at least a year away, I would think. Yeah, so
guys could do an episode every week.
Yeah. Well, and now they just started last night. I watched the premiere episode of Discovery season three, which I enjoyed. And it was, I won't get into it because we got to get to season two first and everything. But it was an interesting change in direction for the series. And I think, I don't know. I don't know if fans will love it or not love it, but I really enjoyed it. It was a great lighter feel, lots of comedy thrown in that I really enjoyed the comical aspects of it. And still being Star Trek, still being what you want it to be. I mean, I think Lower Decks might actually have a nice effect on all the other series to show, hey, you know what, you guys can still tell a great Star Trek story and have some fun with it too, and have some comedy thrown in. Even a little more than you have in the past. So I think it's great. It was just hard in the first season to do much of that because it was so dark. I mean, there were still comical moments throughout the the first season of Discovery, but you know, it the whole thing's just a pretty dark story, and it really got dark here recently, and where you could go, oh wow, Lorca was a bad guy, so this changes everything. Anyway,
I don't know if he's a bad guy. I mean,
well, he's got alternative motives to what you thought he had the whole time. Yeah, I guess I wouldn't say bad guy, but he's certainly not a Federation guy.
I was thinking, you know, you got the Emperor. You start really liking the Emperor in contrast to him, but then you realize the Emperor's ruthless too.
Yes.
I mean, she's like eating, what's the name of the race that Soro is. They're having them for dinner.
Yeah.
Which is a little freaky.
But on the other hand, I hear it's really good. So, you know, a lot like chicken. Anyway, let's...
It's like chicken, not even chicken.
That's just what I hear. Matt, what else you got about either Lower Decks or Discovery or anything else?
No, I think we covered it pretty well, you know, the last couple of weeks, because we discussed it.
Yeah. Okay.
In depth, and
yeah, I think so too. I think we covered. It's neat to know that we're excited about all the series and where they're going, and it's been a great journey on Lower Decks. Discovery, we still got a few more episodes left, and then I think we'll segue right into season two, and we'll go from there. So we'll see you folks next time. I'm going to stop this, and we'll start a new thing.